the snipe, and those freaking pips, shrimps. I'm making them make enough noise like bam bam. Throw boulders from bedrock, you'll get dropped by slam man, so check it. I'm making the record quick, oh shucks. I give it to got big ducks like daddy war bucks. Oh Anna, I'm making the rock the coca cabana, banana split, hot took spit so sick. I'm making the freaking from here to Bangladesh. I'm ripping the ripping flesh, but I get fresh like this. Shish, shiggy the shush, kid, you'll get done. For fun, I riggedy rhyme like no one. I riggedy bum, riggedy rust, chickity jumps, I'm savage. I shake them up and down like the Dow Jones average. I'm cocky like Rocky, I riggedy bangs the best. So diggity tell your friend chump, cause here comes Dasa Vex.
Yeah,
Yo, what up, everybody? Told y'all I was coming up with my own personal kind of a side show or, spinoff show. It's Dry Lowcast Network, Mike Checker. So thank you for tuning in and listening. This episode is pretty, pretty dope. My guest is Wu Child. He's been on the regular Dry Lowcast episode previously where we were talking about Drake, I believe. Dope, insightful guy. He's from Flint, Michigan. Why wouldn't I have him in here to talk and go in depth and talk about the Flint water crisis that is going on? And we talk about politics within Michigan, unions, social media, all kind of different topics and discussions in this this interview and discussion. The thing about Mike Checker, the way I wanted to kind of flow on going forward, is really just sitting down having more serious conversations with different people of different ilks and chopping it up with them and even interviewing them, seeing what they're about in their respective fields. And like I said, more in-depth discussion and just shooting banter about whatever is going on with the society or our historical issues, societal issues, sociological issues, etc. Hope y'all enjoyed this first episode with it. We're going to be pushing out some more, and soon another Straight Out Low Cash episode will be coming tomorrow or Tuesday or so. Somewhere in there, but that'll be coming out soon. Dope episode we have with that. Keep subscribing to us on iTunes under Stroud Low Cash. Lando Cal will be opening up its own iTunes page as well in a second. So definitely you want to subscribe to that soon as well. Email us straightolc@gmail.com. Check out the Stroud Low Cash fan page. It's been blowing up and seriously a lot lately. So if you're on Facebook, jump on there to Twitter, straightolc as well. And appreciate and hope y'all like Mike Checker, the first episode with my man Wu Child. Once again, we're here with my man Wu Child. He's back on here on my new show. Like I said, for my preview microphone check, we're gonna be talking about serious topic this time. We'll joke and laugh, but it's gonna be more of a serious talk situation on the Flint situation with the water and on a real perspective from someone from Flint. Someone really understanding the culture of Michigan, because I feel a lot of people are just upset and not understanding the direction of being upset. So, Wu Child, thank you for coming on, my man.
What's going on, man? So, glad, happy to be back.
So, we just going to flow a conversation, man, and then we just going to boom, put it out to the people. So, we were talking about how, let's retread back a little bit, going into, basically, because Michael Moore gave out 10 things that you don't know about the Flint situation that you need to know about. And we were talking about it, and you were saying that he has a different platform. I guess you were saying that the platform, I guess it's different split, like how Ferguson was, like how different platforms in different ways and the people can look at the situation and what's going on. And you were, I guess, go ahead and expound on that a little bit.
I mean, he's a lot like you and I. I'm saying, like, we can look from the outside in and not be directly affected, although I have family still in the city and still facing these issues. He's able to look as in a more of a institutional way, because when you look at the solutions that are happening on the ground, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful thing, the outpouring of donations and water and people that are really going directly to the people and trying to mitigate this disaster. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But on a systemic level, it kind of hinders the ability to hold the people and the governor, the city manager, hold all those people accountable. You know, like the way that this bureaucracy moves, it moves so slow, and without a serious influx of pain that the American people can see and can't turn away from, nothing happens.
Yeah.
So by mitigating the disaster, we're actually prolonging it. You know, and it's hard for people to understand because, like I said before, you can't tell somebody who's been living with water they can't bathe in, they can't drink, they can't cook, they can't boil to use, that a bottle of water doesn't help. Yeah, like, you can't tell somebody that, you know? You can't tell somebody to not accept it, to tell other people not to give it to them. The fuck? Like, yeah.
That's what Michael Moore's platform is more of saying.
We need
y'all not to do that.
Like, yeah, we need to be able to get to the actual root, which is the governor, the city planner, how he went and subverted democracy. You know, we can't hold those people account. Like right now, like I told you before, they took the money that they allocated to give or bring water to Flint, bring bottled water to Flint. They reallocated that because people were given, you know, there was enough. There isn't enough. And that's the crazy part. There still isn't enough.
It's almost an impossible. It's like a money pit. Yeah. Almost like you just throwing it really into an abyss that people need it, so it's not going to ever be needed.
It's never not going to be needed. Yeah. Double negative in this. And you can watch it happen. You're watching this happen. It's February. They didn't accept that this was a problem until like what, December?
Yeah. No. What's crazy is, do you remember when you was on our podcast, on the Straight Outta Low Cash podcast? You told us about this way before then. We were like, when it happened, I was like, yo, Wu Chow told us about, because you were talking about like, yeah, the pipelines used to come through Detroit or something like that. You told us about that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you was like, it's going to be an issue coming up soon. Watch. Yeah. And then boom, it hit.
Because, I mean, the people were fighting against the local county and state government to get them just to admit that there was a problem. You dig?
So nobody was even saying like it was an issue, period.
No,
like
it was just... they were saying it was fine. They were saying it was fine. This has been happening since 2014. It is 2016.
So Flint started getting their water from Detroit in 2014, or they stopped?
Yes.
Okay. So why did the water get cut off? The normal municipal water, what happened for them to have to go through Detroit?
As long as I've been alive and been a resident of Flint, we've always got our water from Detroit.
Oh, okay. So it's always been like that. But yeah. 2014, that's when they was like, well, we could skeet some little money though by doing another route.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's really some bullshit too. When you actually look at it and look at all the emails and stuff that are coming out now, but people already knew. It's just being, authenticated at this point. They were trying to save money, and that was the whole crux behind them assigning the city a city manager, which basically supplanted the city council, the mayor.
So basically, it was just somebody that was the accountant over everything. Like we got $1 million, and we only could do $100 here, $100 there.
Far more nefarious than just an accountant. He was the person who made all the decisions, and he was appointed by the governor.
So the mayor won shit.
The mayor hadn't been shit for a long time. They found that Flint had such a they were in so much financial disarray that they couldn't get it together. So they said, you can't do it. We're gonna assign somebody to do it for you, and that's it. So the people that were elected by the citizens had no power, and it was just a person that was appointed by the governor to run everything. You know what I'm saying? He's not just an accountant. He's the person that writes the checks too.
Yeah. So he's got his own signature on everything. Like, yes. He's the check. How did,
and he wasn't even, he, the guy that did this in 2014, it wasn't even the first guy. There was another guy before then.
Oh, is that an elected position, or is that
he's appointed
by the governor?
By the governor. No real prior, you know, I guess, what's that? any prior
experience.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
any prior experience unnecessary. Just got to be cool with the governor, and then you get points.
They probably don't even live in Flint, bro.
No, they're not.
That's what I'm saying. They don't even live in Flint, though. Nah, but you're the city manager of Flint. But you don't even live there.
Yeah, they pretty much did the same thing to Detroit. You know, they took over the city. I'm not positive if Detroit has got their
rights back. Is it because of Kwame? Is it because of Kwame?
No.
Before Kwame?
No, it has every, like, their platform was fiscal responsibility. So when you have these densely populated black areas that are running in the red, they were like, yep, nope, can't do it. You need somebody to come in and do it for you. Bye bye democracy. We'll appoint you a dictator and call it a day.
Damn. Yeah. Did you see what Kwame Kilpatrick said, though? It's kind of messed up because you sitting in a Fed prison, though, till like, what, we'll be 50, you know, by the time he get out. But he was basically talking about, I guess, the structure of everything. He was just saying that's been an issue. That's going to be the issue in other states coming up soon, because they're saying Michigan is a platform of how other cities and smaller towns that are not holding their own financially, they'll end up becoming.
Yeah,
it's gonna be your state next. He's basically saying your state gonna be next.
Yeah, when you look at how Republicans, like, it's so funny, like, people use the word government so loosely that and it's actually, I believe it's a part of the, and I hate saying like plan and plot and bullshit like that, but you can see this.
What's so crazy is that people mess up the word conspiracy, though, because 10 years ago, we could say, it's a conspiracy. And people are like, oh, okay, I understand. Now you say conspiracy. It's like, oh, here you go. You're going to say aliens going to come down. Yeah. But there are nefarious, like you said, there are nefarious setups and things that
you can actually follow, you know, and actionable things that they've done to say, you know what, this is what we're doing. And this is what we're going to continue doing until somebody stops us. You know, like, basically, like, I think it's like at the 2000 census, they put into action the ability to take over these states. So they worked hard to get enough elected officials during that time, because when the census comes is when you also get to rewrite the districts.
And you can rewrite actually the amount of people that go to Congress as well. You know, saying like, hey, your state lost some seats, California got bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, so when that happened, you know, and us being a disaffected a population that doesn't really vote, they took advantage of it, and they pushed through their people. They got enough people in place, gerrymandered so many districts, such that now even if a state votes, total votes have more Democrats, they're more than likely gonna put in more Republicans into the actual Congress. Damn. Like, it's the craziest thing. It was like 52% of total votes were Democrat, but like 30% of the seats that they send to Congress were Democrat. You know, it was a coordinated plot to be able to pull this off. So
why is Michigan, like, I guess, the battleground for, or something like that? Why is
Michigan's not alone. Wisconsin,
Ohio as well.
You know, but it was easy to go in, because like the concentrated areas of quote unquote Democratic power, you know, they can be marginalized, and that's exactly what happened. You know, I mean, black folks in general, you know, so when you have large populations that are driving an entire party to be able to make sure that they're cornered off and their vote affects as little as possible, you have the path of least resistance right there.
Yeah, because you ain't gonna have a certain amount of people that are coming, so it's like, hey, you know, you're all good.
Yeah. So, you know, and plus, you know, with the manufacturing leaving, people leaving, the population was shrinking. You know, black folks are going to places where, you know, they could find jobs. You know, we really depended on you know, that manual labor, that manufacturing that was like a golden era, you know, when everybody came and from the South. Like, all my people are from, you know, Alabama and Louisiana.
Did you ever see that map? They did a map that showed, I guess, where every black person came from what state, like, I guess it was whatever migration was to whatever state, like, mm-hmm. Chicago is Mississippi. Then they had Alabama for Michigan. They had, like, Ohio, I think it was, like, Georgia. And they were showing, like, the different states where most people, I guess, got their jobs from. And it was, like, a map, like, basically showing. And you say Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, they said Alabama was from Michigan.
Sweetwater.
Sweetwater, man. Sweetwater, man. Them town names, man. And my cousin, shout out to you, DaVita Goodwater. She from Goodwater, Alabama.
You know what? I might have messed that up.
I think, oh, so she's from the Goodwater, then, because her town is Goodwater.
I know it's some water. I'm tripping.
Yeah, it might be Goodwater. It's probably Goodwater.
Might be Goodwater.
Goodwater.
It's crazy.
They got a Walmart, and that was like a big deal though, like maybe like 10 years ago. Like that's how, yeah. like yeah, yeah. But so like when it comes to Flint, like what do people really need to know?
I'm tripping.
It is good. So damn, that's how much black people are from probably 30 towns in the South. Before we expanded out and basically went everywhere else.
Yes, that's where my granddad's from.
Goodwater. It's Goodwater, Alabama. Damn. I'm going to hook you up with her and everything, though, because y'all probably know the same people probably through, or none of your family's still there in Goodwater.
Nah, well, actually, like my cousins, the Hoyts, the larger family, some of them are still down there, and they gave us grief when Michigan State lost to Alabama.
Oh, good dang, Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Woo. I know they gave
y'all was
grief.
Hurting. I know you was hurting over that, though.
Yeah, man, I was avoiding them.
You avoided online, though, too, for a while. So you
not online. Because, like, the only people that could really talk to me was Alabama folks. Yes. You know.
A general person is like, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
No, anybody who repped a team that wasn't in the championship or in the playoffs didn't really matter to me.
You in Missouri, so it's like, whatever. You know, y'all had to strike, though, and a couple months ago. Now we ride with that.
we got bodied, though. It is what it is.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's so weird. It feels like Michigan's having a resurgence. It's like it's weird. Like I read articles there, and I'm like, I feel like it's a resurgence, but then I feel like it's retraction too. Like with the organic gardens and everything going on in Detroit. You know, with them trying to basically remake Detroit more into of a more organic kind of food area. Like I'm like, damn, that's some dope shit. You know?
Yeah, but it's not that right there. It's happening downtown. You know, like what they choose to report is interesting. It's interesting because they're typically all white faces for all these entrepreneurs, and this city is, you know, like 80% black.
Yeah.
Like it's more black than Flint.
Yeah. So Detroit's more black than Flint.
Yes.
Yeah, because Flint's 56% black, right, or something like that.
Yeah. We're very virginal 60. It was probably more when I was growing up because I'm like I said, so many people have left.
Oh, so Flint's black population decreased percentage wise?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not. I can't say that's a fact.
But it feels like it when you go back. I mean, like
the entire neighborhoods are empty. Like empty. You know, like when I was growing up, I think there was like close to like 200,000 people there. Mm. So it's like half as many people there now.
Damn. So you can go blocks and just to get like if you go into your homeboy career, you can go blocks without even.
Yeah. Yeah, like literally, it's
with no homes basically to go to somebody's house.
There'll be homes,
but no one's in them. One's occupying.
Nah, absolutely no one in them. It's the most depressing thing I've seen. And
worse than Gary? You been to Gary?
I haven't been to Gary in a couple years.
But I'm saying, but you know how Gary is kind of set up. Like, is it more depressing looking than Gary? To me, Gary is like one of the most depressing I've seen.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I have no reference point.
Or East St. Louis? Is it more depressing looking at East St. Louis?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, because it's bigger.
Right. So you're talking about 20 East St. Louis's.
Yeah.
But more spread out.
Yeah.
Basically, East St. Louis to Belleville almost.
Yeah. It's,
but it looks like that throughout, all the way out to Belleville, kind of like.
Pretty much. Like, there's certain neighborhoods. Like, where I grew up, both of the places where I grew up on the south side in two different neighborhoods in the estates and an Avon hood over there on 7th Street near Central, near where my old high school was. Both of those areas haven't completely gone away. But like the north side, like riding through the north side where that's where I would spend a lot of time over there by Brownell and well, my homeboy Roy and over and just getting over there, there's just areas that are just gone, you know, just gone. And I remember when I came home from college one year and they finally demoed Buick City, which was like this huge manufacturing. You know what I'm saying? Our city is vehicle city, you know, yeah. Where, you know, you have so much pride in being able to create and being a part of the engine that drives this country. And they're like landmarks, they're huge factories and like blocks and blocks. I came home my freshman year and they finally, then it was empty. You know, they had already taken the job.
How long? Is that around the time that Michael Moore did that documentary? What was it called?
That was way after Roger and Me.
Roger and Me. But I'm saying, but that was about that era you're talking about, though, right?
He was just talking about Flint in general, which was interesting because, like, I don't see my Flint in Roger and Me. But that's a whole nother.
Really? But when people think of Flint in general on a general like documentary basis, they think Roger and Me, though.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, but either way, man, when I came home and they took down that building, like, there was like a couple of blocks turned into a parking lot. I got lost.
Yeah. It's almost like on The Wire. Remember on The Wire where they when they took down the towers and everything, people were like, damn, I don't even know how to even get around to even go nowhere because the people would see the towers and know, right. Like, oh, well, that's east or that's west or north or south off of those project towers.
Yeah.
Damn.
Just like that.
So you got lost because it was gone.
Yeah. I just had to keep driving until I made it to Saginaw Street and then finally got my bearings because, like, I was like, I don't know where I'm at.
So that facility was that big, Dormus?
Yeah. That was huge.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, I'm interested, what do you mean? Why did Roger and Me not be considered, like, why is that not a Flint representation for you? I guess, and I'm assuming as a black person, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't see my areas, you know, like when you watch it, it's a lot about the industry, and everybody, like, that's like work, you know, it's not home, it's just work, it's an abstract idea, and then when they show the people, it really was in areas that we weren't. You know, he showed a young lady or the old lady that was cooking the rabbit and
yeah,
all this good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know where that was.
Really? You don't even know where that even be at?
Nah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it made it seem country, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we city folk.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, Flint is just an extension. It'd be like Berkeley for St. Louis. To me, that's how I kind of visualize, like, just in proximity.
Yeah.
To where it is, to from Detroit and like the people, like you got Kinlock, which used to be flowing with people, and then it's basically you can ride through blocks at Kinlock,
right?
And ain't nobody there,
yeah.
You know, yeah. So like with the water situation in Detroit, do you feel like there is going to be any change on this situation? Period, or there's a cynic in me believes like, all right, you know, this is the cool thing for right now.
Well, let's talk more directly about what actually happened.
Yeah, Let's
from the 2014 point where they made the decision to switch away from water. Like the Detroit water system isn't, you know, this beautiful thing that's a savior and was doing all the right things. You know, they were doing wrong by Flint. You know, they were charging his way.
Was this Kwame Kilpatrick? I always like to bring him up. I like to throw him on the bus as much as possible. Like, I'm like, was it Kwame Kilpatrick? Like, because yeah. I mean, I love Kwame Kilpatrick so much because he stood for so much. Like, shit, he only a couple years older than us. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, yo, he had so much. So I assume that everything that happened wrong with Detroit after 2003 is Kwame Kilpatrick's fault.
That's yeah. Low key, what he got caught on was something that I wouldn't doubt a bunch of aldermen and
But my whole thing is though, is like you the first black mayor, the youngest black mayor in the country. You can't ride like that. You can't have strippers at the doggone corner, and your wife can't have people getting a hit on the strippers. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I mean, like, real talk, Barack, people can say what they want more than Barack Obama, but that dude rolled that presidency how a black person rides.
Has to
ride a situation like that.
Yeah.
Now, the next black person might be able to come in there and have barbecues on the front lawn.
A little bit more militant.
Yeah. But Kwame had a little, you know, difference. And you can't be buying Escalades and having your people ride around and texting your chick. Texting your chick through the government phones where they can track all this and then lying about it on the stand.
Like that sounds so bad. But we just got a nigga that just poisoned an entire city. He ain't shit happening to him.
That's real shit.
You dig? But like I said, you know, the Detroit water system had its own problems. They were charging it too much, and they were trying to save money. That was the official story. Trying to save money. Fine. If that's the case, trying to save money, get a better deal. Cool. So they say, all right, we're going to build a pipeline from Lake Huron directly to Flint, so we bypass Detroit altogether.
And how did Flint have the money to do this? Or is the state of Michigan doing this?
I think it's the county and developers. You know, it's people with their hands out getting government stipends. You know, getting government contracts.
Saying like, I can do the pipe from Lake Huron into Flint.
It's not hard to find. You know, that the people that are saying that are okaying this line are also getting campaign contributions from these contractors. You know, to make this happen, to facilitate this to happen, and putting it on Flint's bill or Genesee County's bill. You know, so. But either way, let's say that they're saving money. Cool. The idea of a pipe directly to Flint makes sense. You know, cool. That's nothing wrong with this. When it starts to fall apart is when Detroit doesn't want to lose the contract. They don't want to lose the contract because Flint's one of their larger contracts, the people that they give water to. So they make a better deal.
Detroit does.
Yes. They make a deal that is 20% better than the deal that they ended up taking with the water system coming directly in. Over 30 years, they would have saved 20% more money by staying with Detroit.
Damn.
You dig? So... And they turned it down. They turned it down. They were already gung-ho about going ahead and making this happen. Thing is, the pipeline's not done. So they got to get the water from somewhere.
So the pipeline's still not done even to this day.
No, it's still not done. So what do you do? You go to the Flint River. We got a body of water right here. We'll just tap into that. We'll be good. Problem is, nigga, we knew that the water was bad. We knew that General Motors was pumping toxins into it. We knew.
So run that back. See that's something that people need to know though. Like, so General Motors was dumping toxins in their earth, like back in the day. I'm assuming.
Yeah. The entire time. All of them were. It wasn't just General Motors, but they're the easiest and most easily identifiable. You know, with the area. The river is polluted. We knew this. Oh, but we can treat it. All right. Okay. Fine. Let's say you can. You know what the problem is. You know how to do it. They purposely did not do the job that they were legally, not morally, yes, legally obligated to do, which was treat the water to make sure that it would be less corrosive to the lead pipes. They knew what the infrastructure was. They knew we had lead pipes. They knew the water was bad. Like they've done many tests over decades, and recently to know exactly what's wrong with the water. So if you can treat it and you know how to treat it, and you're legally obligated to treat it, and then you don't, and then tell people that the water's fine, the fuck? What recourse do we have? What recourse do we have to hold people accountable for doing this to us?
Who are they going to throw under the bus?
Yeah.
I mean, but who do you believe they're going to... Somebody's going to get thrown under the bus.
Well, right now, the governor's claiming...
the city manager.
Plausible deniability. Basically, he was hands-off on everything.
And I didn't even see it.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
It's the Joe Paterno way.
There we go. Yeah, it's pretty...
I mean, he was raping all these... I didn't know. I wasn't even there.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be the person in charge of everything. Like, the buck stops at you. Oh, but I didn't know. But when I found out, I told everybody. See, that's how this shit works. You keep a man... You keep enough distance from the shit that you know what's going on... And like, oh, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Don't even let me know. You just handle it.
Yeah.
Just handle it.
Yep. And then the aides get to do it. And I'll same thing with Chris Christie. with that whole bridge thing. Bridge gate. You know, it's a, oh, just do it. Don't tell me nothing. So that when they pull me in front of Congress to testify, I can say I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't know.
Because I didn't know.
You know, I knew, but I know no specifics. No
like,
specifics.
Like, literally, I know nothing. I ain't got no emails. I ain't got no calls about it.
Nope.
Don't send me nothing, no paperwork with my name on it.
Absolutely nothing.
So is the water? So the water was contaminated, and it's Flint River.
Mm-hmm.
So they just start pumping that, like basically, like we gonna switch this basis, just switch this line over, like
immediately, like.
So was it already a line to go to Flint River, or they had to build pipes to be crooked to get out of that river?
It was always connected. It was just bypassed by for the water to go into. Our homes, I think. I'm not even positive if Detroit Water actually went into the Flint plant, but we had a water purification plant already in place.
Okay,
but I don't think it was being used. You know, and that was the thing. Like people were like, we have a water purification plant, we're not even using it. You know, we could use that and save money. No, and then you add into the fact that. Like this isn't incompetence. These are specific actions that they said no to. It would have been like $60 like per person a day to keep to treat the water properly that they were legally obligated to do. And none of this would have happened.
But then they look at it $60 per person, 100,000.
Gotta save that money.
100,000 people in the city.
Yeah.
You're looking at $6 million.
I mean, it wasn't even that. I'm pretty sure it was just $60 per person, like period.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't an exorbitant amount of money. It was small.
Just trying to save that little bit amount of money.
Yeah, they said fuck it.
So why can't they just go in? Why are we having a water issue now still in Flint? Why can't they just hit the pipeline to Detroit like they did?
They already have. See, the problem was because they didn't treat the Flint River water, mm-hmm. It corroded the pipes.
Now even the water that comes from Detroit now is going to be corroded by everything that is correct.
Lead is leaching into the water supply through the pipeline. That is servicing their homes.
So you're talking about
you have to replace the pipes.
That's a multi-million dollar.
Yeah, like approaching billion.
You almost have to put a state of is Flint under a state of emergency? I think Obama did do that, right?
Yeah, it's
to get some of that FEMA funds or
I don't know what the specific term was, but I know one term was rejected because it was not a natural disaster. The natural disaster would have opened up more.
All that FEMA money, right? All that money,
you know. So, which is why you know they were only able to allocate federally like $28 million or something like that towards the cause versus you know like the hundreds of millions you would get if like a hurricane hit or earthquake or something like that because they can't. This is a man-made disaster. It's not a natural disaster. This is not what this is supposed to be for. You know, and that whole like they were really trying to change the conversation to why won't Obama make it this? You know, why won't he call it a natural disaster? Why won't he?
Because y'all fucked up.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a man made. Because the government did this to us. You know, nothing natural happened.
They said nothing natural. There was no natural. It was y'all.
And we can't allow them to get away with saying you know it was just bad judgment. No. No, it can't be bad judgment when you're dealing with something that is a necessity that we definitely take for granted, but it's something that we shouldn't have to question in this country. You know, our water supply, our water, we shouldn't have to think twice about whether or not we can use it. You know, like as an American and any American and anywhere that even people that aren't being affected should be able to empathize with that and really stand up and say no they shouldn't have to worry about that. That's not, when I turn on this faucet, damn it, it's supposed to be good, period. The fuck do I pay my taxes for?
Yeah. Are people, is everyone in Flint not using the water? I'm assuming like period. Are
the actual damage hasn't isn't equal, you know what I'm saying? It's not like the entire city is you know Hiroshima or
it's in Beirut.
Yeah. It's not all completely contaminated equally. Some areas are worse than others
because the pipes are worse in certain areas.
Correct. There are certain people who can use their water, and then if you put in certain systems, that might condense the water and vaporize it and then leave all the pollutants behind and then, recondense, and then now they have pure water. Like, there's people have certain systems in their house like that. Like, my grandmother used to have one like that. You'd see them if you walk into someone's house and they got this little bitty spigot off to the side, mm-hmm. that little bitty thing, and you press it down and water comes out of it. It's that. That right there. They have a system in their home that purifies their water. And this isn't a filtering system. It's an actual mechanical system.
Wow.
Wow. So like my mother has one of those in her house. So there are some people who aren't as effective, but you still can't take baths,
So because you got this, the spigot only works for you if you're in your kitchen type
correct.
Thing.
Correct. It would have to be the filter that they're using, which half of them don't even work. And some of them can't work because there's just too much lead in the water. But it would have to be at the base of the house when the water enters it. But either way,
bathe in it.
Well, people are taking their own lives into their hands in a lot of cases, because you can't not do these things. These are necessities, and you're not going to fill up your bathtub with Aquafina every day. So you're gonna turn on that spout and take yourself a lead bath. It's gonna happen, and there's no getting around it. And you just hope for the best. And they're just dragging their feet. They're just dragging their feet.
So what is the remedy to all this? Or besides. Just, I guess it's re-getting the pipes done, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. And they'll get around it. Like, you can't... When there are no filters that can adequately get enough of the pollutants out to make it safe to use at any point, whether it's at the base of the house, whether it's at the actual water plant, once it gets into the pipes, it's all bad. So you have to replace the pipes, plain and simple. And they just don't want to spend the money. They look at it and say, we can't afford it. The fuck you mean you can't afford it? These are people's lives in danger, and you have a $500 million surplus. The problem is, it's not so much that they can't afford it, is that they can't afford it for everyone. Because the fact of the matter is, these type of things have started to pop up since the whole Flint crisis. The water in Ohio is just as bad. Oh, the water in Pennsylvania is even worse. It's because we have a failing infrastructure in this country. We're working with an infrastructure that's decades, almost centuries old.
Basically, all the pipes up for the 40s and 50s after the World War II, we basically work on pipes off the strength of that.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of cities that need to have this happen, but ours is a little different because it shouldn't have happened. If you have a failing infrastructure, that's one thing. But to have the infrastructure destroyed by the actions of some politicians, you can't conflate the two, Our American infrastructure needs to be overhauled, period. But this was on purpose.
That's real.
Like, this wasn't just over time. People weren't getting lead. We had good water. Like, Lake Huron is like it's some of the freshest water on
Earth.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was saying.
Earth. It is glacier formed. This is some of the purest water on Earth. And they went and fucked it up. Like, they went, that's, we're getting this, and then you turned around and gave us water from basically
the dumping spot for all of these corporations, all of these manufacturers, and decide, you know what, we're gonna take you off of this fresh water and put you on this polluted water. We'll just treat it. It'd be okay.
You'd be good. So they were getting Lake Huron's water for a while.
We had always been. As far as like I said, for as long as I lived in Flint, we had always got Detroit water, always, and it was always funny, especially when I came here. And I was like, this water tastes funny. You know, it's some of the best water.
Yeah, some of the best water in the world. Yeah, yeah.
Period. You know, and
it's so just, it tasted funny to you, and like you like it was almost like it tasted bad to you or just different than what you had previously had.
Well, I mean, it felt like that everywhere. Like whenever we would travel, the water never tasted good. Like it never did. But and it was so funny because like people in Beecher, it was like that Beecher would be like Kinlock to St. Louis.
Okay.
Or I guess to Flint,
really. Or Jennings or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of smaller cities around Flint, and Beecher had its own water supply, and it was like well water, you know. And people would make fun of Beecher because they had well water, and it tasted funny. You know, it tasted funny. But now they don't have bad water.
They still can take a shower out there.
Yeah, you know. So
is that a black populated town, Beecher?
Yeah, no, all the cities around there for the most part. Nah, I'm lying because like Mount Morris, I don't believe is predominantly black. Grand Blanc definitely is not. Burton is not. Yeah, so I guess it's around the areas except for maybe Beecher. Are predominantly white.
Okay. Oh, wow, it's predominantly white, not even mixed.
I mean, it's definitely mixed. You can't not have us.
Yeah, if you're damn near any city.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have family that live out in Mount Morris, and friends live out in Mount Morris, and shoot, I lived a hop, skip, and a jump from Burton once we moved.
So how are the people's, I guess, I mean, you know, a little bit more, like, people's spirits about what's going on? Are they like, shit, do they feel good that people are helping out? Like, how are they looking at, I guess, what intrinsically the rest of the country is looking at them about?
A lot of what happened during a lot of the things that happened here in St. Louis, it's the exact same thing.
So it's basically, it's the same way that Ferguson was, but it's just now in Flint.
In a lot of ways, and I'm talking about the whole spectrum. From you have the people who are really, really fighting hard and angry and finding ways to have their voices heard. You have the people who are disaffected, like, man, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, there's people that are you know, like, oh, you just doing that because, you know, you just trying to get famous off of this, and you know, you think, why are you always in front of a camera? Why can't you just do what you're gonna do and then do it behind closed doors? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so there's all those emotions. You know, you see opportunists. You see people who are genuinely engaged. You have people who are, you know, just mad and don't know what to do with it. You know, it's constant. You know, and it's getting to the point where you know damn well that America's gonna tune out to this. After they've seen it long enough and nothing's happening,
they move on to something else.
And the water's going to be just as bad. It's still going to be bad, and people still won't be able to drink it. Still won't be able to use it.
Do you think people need to put that? Do you think people putting that pressure on them is going to? Yeah, I guess. I mean, my whole thing is if you get the governor kicked out, what's that going to do, really?
Well, I mean,
somebody should be accountable. But I mean, on your longer scale, we just need to get this fixed.
Yeah, and to that end, I mean, if it is continually shown that you can get away with these type of things, they keep happening. Like, you have to have accountability. There's no getting around it. So the idea or the question of whether or not, you know, what good will it do? It'll do good enough to make the other person think twice, or at least do a better job of hiding it. You know, one or the other, yeah. Which is probably what's going to happen. But at this point. Getting the governor thrown in jail would be optimal. Not just getting him.
Damn,
not,
he not said just in getting jail.
Him, yeah, not just getting him removed from office. Because like there has to be. You can't put the lives of your constituents in danger in that way. Like I said, they knew what they needed to do to the water in order to keep this from happening, and they chose to save $60 per person.
That's so crazy, man.
You know, that was a choice. You know, that's a choice that you shouldn't be able to make.
What was that money being allocated towards? I mean, does anybody understand, like, look at the budget?
It went to the surplus. It went to the surplus in the state. The state is running like a $500 million surplus. They've taken away schools. Like, my high school does not exist anymore. Like, Flint used to have like four major high schools.
And what's it down to now? What, two?
I think one.
Damn, Flint has one high school?
Yeah, or at least they're trying to move it to one or the other. Because I know a good friend of mine coaches at Northwestern, which is still open. And I believe Southwestern is still open. And I think they're trying to close down Northwestern and move everybody to Southwestern. But they used to have Northern and Central. Both of them are gone. And those are the two magnet schools.
Damn. So even for the smart kids, they're trying to get them out the way.
Right. Yeah. It's. I mean, like, the city needs to shrink, and it needs to be contracted, but not in the way that they've done it. The way that they've done it has just been all wrong. You know, people are still spread out. So if you make them come all the way across town to school, you're putting an undue burden on a lot of
people.
A lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of everybody. You know what I'm saying? And you already don't have the materials and the funding to make one school work, let alone two.
Yeah.
You know? And even if you and then when they take away the schools, it's not like an abundance comes to the schools that are left. They just take away everything that was there
and put it back in the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the idea of contraction makes sense. It makes sense if everything is pulled back within the city, but that's never the case. It's never the case. You just take. They just take it and take and take and take, and you're left with whatever you already had to begin with.
Mm.
You know, and those other resources that may have been running in the red are just gone. They're just gone.
Damn. So it's just like just skimming the fat.
Yeah.
Basically skimming the fat. So, do you think this is... I guess I think we wanted people to even chime in, but like internationally, do people see this situation being like, damn, this is crazy? Like, and looking at it like, wow, America, they got people with water crisis and supposed to be the best nation in the world.
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, when the whole Michael Brown thing was happening, people were like, they just over there killing black folks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But none of that affects America. What the world thinks about America doesn't affect America.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. It just doesn't. You know, people it's America. It's America. You know what I'm saying? We run shit. Y'all don't tell us nothing about nothing.
Technology helped out with that a lot too, though.
We are hypocrites, and we enjoy being hypocrites. You know, because like the idea of socialism. You know that. Just the idea of it, they've turned it just the way that you said about conspiracy.
Yeah,
you know they've changed it. They've changed that term into something so perverse that you can't even say it or engage in it. And people just think you're out to take something from them.
Mm.
You know, even people that don't have anything and
like, I'm gonna get something from you
and are actually getting more from the government than anybody. You know, don't take away my stuff. But you don't have stuff to take away.
Yeah, but we're actually
giving you stuff. I don't like that socialism. Yes, you do. You love socialism. You know, we're just hypocrites. You know, and we're even more hypocritical when it comes to disenfranchised people. You know, when you start talking about black folks, you know, the collective eyes of America roll into the back of their heads. Oh, here we go again.
Here we go with this.
This
and that.
It was so interesting reading some of the articles, you know, before it became a national thing, hearing people, you know, that's what Democrats do. They, you know, they messed up the whole city. I was like, yeah. You don't even know what's going on. Like, you don't even realize that a city manager was put in place by the Republican governor.
To
fuck this shit up, you know, to do his bidding. And
do you think they knew it was going to mess up like this and just didn't give a fuck? Or they was hoping it just didn't?
I think they just didn't care.
Mm.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. They didn't care. Like, it didn't matter. You know, there's reporting that the governor actually at a donor's dinner was joking about the water. It's like, a little bit of lead isn't going to hurt them. You know, it's not going to make them any dumber. They're already dumb.
Oh, no. Damn.
Yeah, like, they just didn't care. Like they knew the science. They knew the research. They knew how to mitigate it. They said, no, that's too much money to be spending on them niggas. That's pretty much what it was. Like, no, that's we can't spend that much money on them niggas. That's
absurd. Like, why are we gonna do that?
Yeah. So, and Flint's not some type of anomaly. You know, it happens in most concentrated black areas and urban areas in America. It's just not reported. It's just not reported, and people don't have enough interest in knowing. They don't want to know. They don't care. You know, until it becomes so painful that they can't look away. The spectacle becomes so big that it becomes something that they can sell commercials with. Then they'll report it.
So, do you have any issues, I guess, with the Michael Moore's 10 step or 10 things you don't won't tell you? It's pretty much kind of
pretty spot on. I mean, like he didn't say anything that was factually incorrect from my standpoint. Like I said, he has the benefit of being able to speak from a distance. You know, his whole thing really is the systemic change, the holding the people who made this a possibility accountable. And in order to do so, you can't not hurt the people on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and yeah. That's no fault of his, and that's no fault of his logic. That's no fault of his argument. That's a fault of just America, is. You know? Like, it shouldn't take hearings. It shouldn't take points of order and bringing in the entire Congress to vote. It should just be able to be done. You know, like, look, people are being killed. Young kids are being permanently damaged. Permanent brain damage. That's crazy. Unreversible brain damage. We need to do this now. It shouldn't be that hard of a call to make, but it is. And it becomes even easier to drag it out, you know, when you have this outpouring
of people
of humanity, you know, because
it's hard, but you
can't not give people what they need. You can't not do it. Like you can't.
They say y'all gonna take this L though, because we got to do the systemic change. Yeah. Just take this L, and y'all take some L. If nobody's, like you said, nobody's gonna sit there and just sit on the sideline and just let them just play themselves like that.
Correct.
Yeah. So, do you think this is going to be solved anytime soon, or is
No, this is going to drag on for years.
Damn,
man. Because, like I said, they don't want to spend that money. They want to find somebody else to pay for that money. I mean, pay for that money, pay for those pipes to be redone. You know, they don't want to spend the money. They don't want to spend the surplus because, like I said, it's going to open the floodgates for every other city that has a failing infrastructure, which is most of them. Figure all the cities that have lead pipes in them.
Yeah, a lot of cities. I would say 80% of the cities now.
I would say so. Like
I would say every city besides California. Like, but any, if it, let's just sum it out west, you know, where they built homes less than 50 years ago type thing.
Right. Damn. Right. Our infrastructure is shit, from our pipes to our highways. All of it needs to, and our bridges, they all need to be redone. It needs to be done, but we won't do it. We won't do it.
Dang. Man, you got any, you know, last words of people to know, any other information about, because I just wanted people to have a conversation and understand kind of, you know, from like a real perspective, because I feel like there's people is getting news bites about it basically now.
I think one of the better news sources, I'm about to look it up real quick, Mission, if they really want to know what's going on the ground and past national media, I want to say Michigan Radio. You can just Google it. Michigan Radio. They have a lot of good information. And of course,
is it MichiganRadio.org for people? I just Googled it right now. MichiganRadio.org.
Yeah, you'll get a lot. They've been on top of it from the get-go. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on most of the platforms and whatnot. And you'll get a lot of good information directly from the people on the ground.
If you're really interested.
Damn, yeah, this is even more tragic, I feel, than people give it credit, because it's like, damn, you know, it's your water. Like you said, people taking lead baths. Like, yeah. That's some crazy concept. Think about that. I'm taking a bath and harming myself to smell fresh.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of taking a bath is also, you know, to try and prevent disease spreading yeah. disease and all these different other things. You know, it's not just cosmetic. You know, so yeah, it's hard to wrap your mind around, because you just go into the bathroom, turn on the shower, and get it done.
Then you're good to go.
Yeah, and you don't think twice about it. You don't think twice about it, but your skin is the biggest organ on your body, and it absorbs water. It absorbs
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't get around it. It's not like, oh, well, I didn't ingest it. No, you absorbed it in your skin. It's almost worse, because there's so much surface area.
Damn. Just that's a crazy to think about that. Yo, you can't even take a bath, yo. Like, simple, humanic situations you can't even...
A first world country.
Right, that's not even... They got a water crisis in Africa with Jay-Z and them giving out waters and shit, you know, and it's... You know, you think that basically is... I guess they had a water crisis in, what, California this past summer. But that was more, you know, irrigation. That wasn't a...
Yeah,
that was actually a disaster by man-made, non-man-made. This is by somebody just not flipping the correct switch because of money.
Yeah. And like I said, I didn't even flesh out exactly the whole money thing.
Yeah, let's flesh it out. Let's go into it.
That's the official story. It was the money. And then when I tell you that they could have saved 20% more, yeah. this is tens of millions of dollars. If they're really worried about the budget, you would take the one that, you know, would have saved more
so
money.
So is it back to lining pockets of somebody else that...
All day. I mean, you can chalk this up as a conspiracy all you like, but his wife is on the board for Nestle, and Nestle is like one of the largest bottling companies in the world for water. And when you have a public entity like Detroit Water System... You have this ideology that keeps pushing privatization of everything public. What do you do? And when you have the power to harm this public institution and try to take it over and make it private,
yeah. Damn.
You take away one of its largest contracts, Flint. You take it away. Now you're going to starve it. You're going to starve it, and then you're going to say, "Oh, you can't run. We need to take it over." We're gonna appoint somebody, and now we're gonna sell it off to the private industry. The private industry is better; they can run it better than you can. and then somebody gets rich off of a public entity. I mean, that's what it looks like. And then, of course, along the way, you have all of the campaign contributors that are contractors that are building these pipelines, and you know that's the pipeline is private. You know, the only thing missing from the only prize on the table left is Detroit Water System, public.
Damn.
You gotta turn that private. And the only way you can do that is to say, oh, you're insolvent. You can't run yourself. The same way they take over the cities. You know, oh, you're insolvent, you're running in the red, we need somebody to get you back on track.
Even with schools though, you know, you guys are not running in a certain area though, y'all are decertified, now you can be regulated by the state.
Correct.
Damn.
That's that whole ideology. When they tell you that the private sector, whenever you hear a Republican talk about private sector, they're trying to take something from you. They're trying to take something public and turn it and give it over to people so that they can make money off of it. So long as it's public, there's nobody making money off of it. You know, it's just serving the people. It's socialism. It's serving the people, but we don't want it. Want it to serve the people. We want it to be able to make money, generate money, and so long as it's public, it can't generate anybody money. And I have this business model over here that if I acquired this, I could make money off of it.
money up, but that's real talk. Yeah. That's crazy, man, to think about that. That
yeah, like seriously, there's no coincidence that she's on the board with Nestle, and then these things start happening with water. It's not.
It's not even conspiracy. This is some nice fact checking.
That's not a hard line to draw. You know what I'm saying? Like that is a direct line towards your interest, your personal interest. Like this would help me and line my pockets. Forget people that I can help or my cronies, but me personally.
Yeah, I'm going. It's going back inwardly. Like that. Damn.
You know. So like, and of course it'll never be. Accepted, or sorry, nobody will ever admit it. You know, they'll never admit it. But when it happens, don't be surprised.
What then? What's going on?
Yeah, don't be surprised. It'll probably be under a different name, a different corporation, and then it'll come back to where it needs to be. And you follow it all, it'll come back to where it's supposed to be, or it'll go back to exactly where you thought it was going to go. Yeah. But it'll be enough degrees of separation that there's plausible deniability.
Damn, that's crazy to think about, man. That shit blows my mind. That people can't even have drinking water, yo.
Nah,
it's crazy.
Look, when the switchover happened, and you know, I'm following everything with my friends and my family, and through the elections where they elected Mayor Weaver. And ousted Walling, who was in place, even though he didn't have real power, he was in place during the whole debacle and everything that was going on. So they
blamed it on him kind of somewhat too.
It's not so much blame as it is, like, this is the way I see it, and the reason why I felt like he needed to go, is that he was privy to enough information, and he didn't make enough noise. He
could have really been ringing the bell, yes. Ringing the bell, you're saying?
Yes. He could have been the alarm that kept it from happening. Because like when I said that the city manager that made the call wasn't the first one, the guy before him, I don't believe was the first one either, but the guy before him actually turned down the switch to Flint water. Because it was polluted. They didn't want to mess with it. It's not a good idea. Yeah, flat out, it wasn't a good idea. So they removed him, put somebody in that said, yeah, it's good to go. We'll save $2 million a year.
Yeah, because I'm looking here on the Michigan radio site. They said former head of Michigan's drinking water unit first to be fired in wake of Flint water crisis.
Yeah, I think that's what the DEQ, Department of
Quality or something like that. I'm like, damn, it took that long for y'all to fire somebody. I mean, I know that somebody's going to take the L here, yeah. But I'm just saying, no, damn, y'all was scared to even give out the L's.
Like, you had to watch this. Like, you had to watch it happen. Like, you had people who were saying, yeah, I'm going to resign in July. Like, yo, what do you mean you get to choose when you're gonna be done?
No.
You need to be gone now. Yeah. You know,
immediately. Nah. We need to go and get that security dude to get your box together and go and walk on out. Maybe Tupperware.
They do not care. And even putting it in terms like caring and moralizing this shit. Like, if you're that bad at your job, you should be fired. Like, just
yeah,
literally. Like that should just be it. You know, this isn't a moral judgment. This is a job that you were paid to do, and you did a bad job at it. You need to go. That's it. You know, it's not a whole lot of consternation here. It's like, look, you should be fired. And honestly, when people start losing their lives, you should be in court. You know.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, yeah. Because people are dying, and or they're being maimed, or. Whatever it is, damn. Do you think someone ever will get prosecuted in this situation?
Somebody that doesn't matter.
Like the dude right here just got fired over. Yeah.
Like maybe the county. The city manager. He might get charged. Some aide. You know,
some random person that didn't flip the right switch and.
Yeah, like I said, with Christie and Bridgegate. You know, a bunch of the aides got in trouble, but he didn't. And I don't think anybody went to jail, even though somebody could have died with them cutting off the bridge like that. I think people just a couple people lost their jobs. That was it. And watch when people lose their jobs and see if they come up someplace else.
You know, they just kind of move them around like
all right, you know, I'm going to leave you here, though, but you can go to another county and get another job whatever. Yeah,
just like priests and policemen, you know. You can't do wrong. You can't do wrong, or you'll land on your feet.
Well, except for Darren Wilson, he say that, you know, his life is ruined because he can't get another job. But, you know, he still made $500,000 on GoFundMe or wherever the fuck it was, you know, whatever. Fuck out of here, man. Man, thank you for coming on, man. You know, this is my first episode of my microphone check. It's going to be more serious conversations, man.
Yeah.
I wanted to really have like serious discussion on what is going on there, because I feel like it's basically like a cliff note that people are getting on what's going on in Flint. They're like, "Oh, the water's messed up. People can't drink it." All right, let me donate $100 to XYZ. You know, I mean, that's charity, which is nothing wrong with that. You know,
well, that's how it is with everything. Because because like I've been like a conduit for a lot of different things. Because like you have my people from Flint asking me about what's going on with Mike Brown, whatnot. You know, I'm out there with my man Ronnie Notch, and we were protesting and over there in front of the police department and everything. They asked me what's going on. Are you safe? You know, and stuff like that. So
that thing crazy. People was like, "Man, you are like, dude. I live in Creve Coeur, man. Like, like these people is not. Right. If anything happened out here, it's happening there too. Where you at too? Because that means the world isn't destroyed. That's true. That's true. Like real talk. If it's going on here, it's going on where you at too. I need to make sure you okay too.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just how we. Really digest, you know, news today and how it's given to us. It's given to us in sound bites and cliff notes and they kind of piecemeal it for
and you know what's even more crazier though? You know, Twitter's gonna end up having an algorithm. They saying now,
so that you can't see everything that comes down your timeline.
It's gonna be like Facebook. Like it's gonna be like Facebook with the algorithm. That literally before you got here, I was literally people have been tweeting Twitter is dead. Because, and I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? So I was, and that's funny you bring it up, because it's like, that was one of the last bastions of just conscious thought, is to have an algorithm now.
Wow. I was actually having a conversation with my man the other day about that, which is why he's not on any of the social media, is because of the algorithm. It's like they curate, you know, what you're supposed to hear and what you're supposed to see.
Yeah.
And even though there's information out there that they make it not. I don't think it's overtly making it more difficult to consume, but they're curating what you're going to consume.
Yeah.
So and if you're not inclined to actually go look, you're gonna stop at what they've put in front of you. And once they've put in front, like if they're in control of what's gonna be put in front of you, that becomes problematic. You know, like because you don't know what the reasoning is.
Behind. Like I was telling
dogs, why I can see this, but I can't see this.
And it's so funny you say that, because I was thinking, there's not going to be a new social media site for the next 10 years. Like, that's going to be impactful, because I was thinking about, like, there's people that's getting paid to be Facebook people, paid to be a Twitter person. There's not going to, me and you not going to come up with a new thing that's going to just set the blaze on fire, because so many corporations and people are invest it into some of these sites now, into Instagram and all
that. How they gonna find out about it for it to become
that bigger thing though? It's like,
actually were able to use these other social media platforms to launch other social media platforms. You know,
so they gonna block it. The algorithm is gonna mess you up to be able to get out your new site. You know, whatever it is, which is interesting though, because then you're gonna really see some different shit with Twitter if they get this algorithm thing though, because then you're gonna really be able to see who they're pushing with their messages, because it's going to be about who your followers are, and then it's going to be just like with Facebook. I feel like my Facebook is pretty curated pretty well. Like, I know people like, man, I'll be seeing some crazy stuff. I really don't see that much crazy stuff on my timeline like that. And maybe it's because they follow what I want to kind of read about, you know, and see what I'm reading about, you know.
It's less that than it is being able to reach people that need to be reached. See, if you have a message, more than likely, you're going to be speaking to the choir.
Because it's the same people. It's your friend. I mean, in theory, it's your friends.
But we know it's not all friends on that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just a bunch
now,
of people.
And Facebook has opened up the things. I be having random people comment on my posts now. And you be like, I'm not even a friend with someone that's my friend. It's not like it's Wu Chow's friend. And you're like, oh, okay. You're not even a friend with anybody that's my friend. How are you even commenting on my page?
And honestly, that right there is extremely rare. extremely rare. Like, it's typically a friend of a friend.
Yeah, but somehow. I'm you like but either
way. Yeah, but either way, very rarely will they will people who aren't completely in tune with you be a part of your conversation. So it stays within its own little bubble. It's basically creating all these bubbles, and you can't affect enough of the space that you're supposed to be in for it to be, you know, something that matters. You know, and that's where the problem comes in. Like, you might see what you want to see, and that's what they're pitching. They're yeah. pitching, you know what? We're gonna cut down all of the garbage and all the bull. We're gonna follow what you normally like, what you normally comment on from the certain people that you do this with, and that's what we're gonna show you. That can become, like I said, it can become problematic because now you're like, seriously, you're just preaching to the choir. Yeah. It's just one big circle jerk. You
know? There's no change or no elevation of thought happening because you're only going
to
see those different things.
Yeah, and then also you don't know who's like who just watches and reads and doesn't interact, but they watch and read and are inspired by whatever it is you might say.
But then they don't click like on it, so now it's not in their feed no more.
No longer in their feed. They no longer see these things. They no longer are a part of that.
Because they're not interacting with those posts.
Correct.
That's interesting, man. This is, man, we're in a crazy time, man. Like, we're literally in like a crazy, crazy time because you wouldn't, would we have known about this Flint water crisis as soon without social media? But then at the same time, it's like a, but it's a gift and a curse though, because then we deal with the bullshit with a Kim and Kanye thing though, on the other side though, and it's like, well, damn, man, you know, like, yo, and that's getting more pub, you know, in general.
Yeah, because...
And it's sensationalism, and that's a whole... True. People, we just like to see celebrity shit, period. Doesn't matter.
And we've always been conditioned to like it. So,
yeah, yeah.
But either way, no, we wouldn't know about it. We'd just be suffering in silence. I mean, you have to understand, like, what if social media was around during, like, the Tuskegee experiments?
Hey man, I got syphilis, man.
You dig?
This place I'm going to on Main Street is got.
Figure it took decades to even find out about it. You know, what if somebody who actually was affected by it had social media and could actually be like, yo, they did this to me. Then it picks up. You know, something else could have happened.
But it's so funny. But at the same time, I also think about how much movements would have got stopped because of social media too. Like I feel like. Like what people, because it's like no one can let no one get their shine on. If that makes it, if what I'm saying here is like all the different social advocates out there is doing their thing. Though it's like it's always somebody like you ain't shit. Though I'm like, well, damn, man, like. God, I mean, damn, you ain't doing, like, literally, you're not doing nothing, but you're like, man, they about themselves, like, but what do you, like, it's like.
They just on the internet.
Right, and then I was actually reading an article, and somebody was saying that only 20% of people were, like, behind, like, Martin King. It was some crazy, like, that statistic of how many people were behind, and you're like, huh. But I was thinking, what I'm saying is, if social media had been around, it'd be like, well, damn, Martin Luther King might ain't getting it started, though, because y'all would have told him he was all about his paper or something, and, you know, and then be like, man, he out here fucking bitches, man. He ain't about the movement.
Yeah, but that was happening to his face. They were.
So you said people were bringing it to him after he leave Ebenezer Baptist. Like, hey, look here, Martin, man.
They were coming demonstrations. Like, no, go sit your ass down. You causing too much trouble. Stop. You know, like these good. You making these good white folks mad at us.
The good white folks.
You know, no, it happened. It wouldn't have stopped shit. It wouldn't have stopped nothing. There's always going to be somebody who's willing to lay it on the line. And the fact of the matter is, the vast majority of people are not. Will never be.
And but they're dissenters. It's almost like that joke from Dave Chappelle, and he's like, I come from a line of dissenters. Remember somebody like every it was every time period, somebody in his family was like, man, Jimmy Carter ain't shit. Yeah. And he'd be like, they'd be like, Reagan ain't shit. Like every it's all it's like a line of dissenters, man. It's like almost like nobody wants to be just behind anything. And maybe as you get older, like I was actually watching Bill Maher, which is that's a whole other conversation, give or take him at that. But it was actually he was interviewing a woman and it was saying that men we become more conservative as we get older and women become more liberal. We become more conservative on a general basis because we gain more power. We're like, well, shit, I don't want nobody to get into this money I didn't access.
I
didn't got here.
I
like,
worked hard for it. I want to keep it.
And they were saying women because they get gaining more access, seeing how much they can't get more after they get into certain spaces. And I was like, damn. am I becoming a conservative old dude? Because I'd be like, I'd be looking at something like, damn, man, Amigos ain't shit.
Nah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like,
that ain't the same.
Yeah, but no, but at the same time, no, it's a value for the Migos for wherever they are, though. But I'd be like, if we could, like, have somebody push them down some steps, it'd be better for hip hop. You know?
I hear you.
Yeah, but it's not, but then I look back, well, damn, man, we was listening to Master P, and that ain't none of them albums have no replay value. Like, no, when is the last time you
stop? Fuck. Okay, I've never rode around with that.
Never, never. And you might get some nostalgia for a moment and be at a party and something like, oh, that's what's up. And the DJ gonna have it for 1 minute because you ain't gonna play that 7 minute Luke song.
Nah,
because them songs are 7 minutes. They are 7 minutes. Go. Everybody go look at them Luke's.
Yeah.
They 7-8 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like even I mean I know we get on other tangents, but I just think of these random things like that. Like even like something like a flashlight. The song's 10 minutes long, man. Were y'all really dancing 10 minutes to this flashlight over and over again?
Well, in the moment they were, just like we was dancing with 7 minutes.
So we can't get mad about the Migos to a certain extent.
That's the way I've always felt about it. I mean It's just, I mean, shoot, what I said last time,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You take music as it is, and yes, we're actually, like, conservatism, I think, is human. It's human to want to keep, and especially American, and it becomes drilled in even more so with capitalism, to keep what you get, and some type of meritocracy where you actually work for what you get. And that's not how it works. You know,
there's no meritocracy in this country.
Not at all.
Even the world. There's no meritocracy in the world.
Not even a little bit. Like people don't understand. Like, what world? Like, would you? Like, if you could pose this question to people, and this is a tangent, but pose this question to people, like, look, would you rather pay? Let's say you already pay. Let's say $100 for healthcare. Would you rather pay $200 for healthcare and have your visits free, or pay $100 for healthcare and possibly end up with a $10,000 bill?
People would roll them dice though on that $100.
And they're
people would roll that dice.
The fucking problem. The problem, because as soon as they hit that 10, they're bankrupt. And guess who's paying for it? Everybody else. Everybody else. Instead of just going ahead and paying for everybody up front with just a little bit more money, and everybody be good, your kids, your cousins, your friends,
random
your neighbors.
Dude, yeah.
You know, you got to think of it like that. It's not just you out here, you know? And the way that our system is set up, you can't get around it. You think you're rolling the dice for you, and you're taking everybody down with you. And then there's somebody else out there taking you down while you're not even paying attention. They done rolled the dice, then got themselves an exorbitant bill that they can't pay. And then the healthcare company gets their money.
Oh, they gonna get their money.
It's not going to get. They get their money. And then somebody else collects the money to make up for it. They get their money, and we pay them. And then basically the... Look, dog.
Like, doctors ain't cured nothing since polio, man. Let's be honest.
It's some bullshit. Like everything, the way it's set up, you know, and the way that we look at things as hoarders and givers and takers, it would be so much better if we actually worked more like what's going on with the bottle drives and everything, and this giving back and all this humanity. If we actually function like that with everything, we wouldn't have to work as hard. We wouldn't have to. We wouldn't have to work until we're 70, you know, to eke out a living. Like people
and
don't,
at 70, it ain't gonna be no good living.
You work just long enough to live a couple more years before you die. Like that's pretty much what we're going for right now. They're trying to stretch out our work life to be our entire life.
They ain't even changed the senior citizens discount at the McDonald's. I saw the other day. The reason I know this is because there was a guy in front of me trying to get his coffee and everything. He was 64 and he was like, oh no, we moved to 65.
Right.
Like what? He was like, it was 60 before. I was like, damn, the retirement coffee is 65 now?
Yeah, and the funny thing is the rest of the world is functioning closer to what we need to function at, and we're supposedly the richest country in the world, and
poorest values, poorest education,
poorest outcomes, you know, at everything that matters to people. And the problem is that that poor person really believes they're middle class. They really believe it. They believe it wholeheartedly.
That's funny you say that.
They're better off than the next person, and they're living one check away from the poorhouse. That's not middle class. That's not middle class.
It's funny you say that because they've conditioned us to reformulate that's middle class, though.
Because you're able to acquire certain things that another person can't. But if you're living that close to disaster, you're not living well. This just is what it is, you know. And we've created a value system where people actually build themselves up by saying, "Well, at least I'm not them." And that's actually how they get. That's how they get poor white people to buy into hurting themselves. Oh shit! At least I ain't them niggas.
Yeah, you know? I ain't getting shot by police. I ain't in the hood with the roaches and rats. So you know, damn.
It's always been that way. Pit the workers against the workers, and you fail to see the forest for the trees. Yeah, and you just eke out a living. Now you have people living so subsistently that they can't stand up because they're so worried about making their next check. You know, you can't go march. You can't go down to City Hall and shut it down and make these people hear you. You gotta go to work.
Are you scared of losing your job because of doing that?
Yeah.
Because you have these right to work states where it's like, we can fire you for whatever reason we feel like.
Yeah.
And you just got to kind of ride with it.
It's a beautiful system for that 1%. And those people that are pulling the strings.
It's interesting. We were talking about unions before we talked and everything. And one of my homeboys, you know Theon? Mm-hmm. Theon Richards, he's from Detroit. And he was in a union. He's dropped out of high school and everything, got a job in a factory.
Right.
And he was like, man, dude, he was like, it was like the best thing ever, because even if I was going to get in trouble, I would just say I had like an alcoholic problem or get caught smoking weed or something, and then they would put me in a program, you know, blah blah blah, and it helped me out. But he was like, it ended up, this is in the 90s though, so like late 90s, early 2000s, he was saying this happened. But he said, but things started to change when he was around 18, 19, and that's when he went into the army. Because the whole, he said it already had changed, but he's talking about like even the unions were changing of what they was going to be able to give you and what they was going to facilitate to you on that end.
That's because they had to capitulate in their contracts to keep the factories in the states. You know, they had to give up stuff to keep the, because they were like, yo, we just leave. After this contract is up, we're gone. So what they would do is strike. Like the year before,
yeah.
Shut it down and make them sign another contract. You know, so that would just go on consistently. And people don't even realize how much unions have brought to the table that everybody benefits from now.
No, they don't. They don't
understand it. And they did, oh my God, what are they doing? Oh man, I can't. Oh, they're striking. I can't go get gas. Oh man, they need to go back to work. Freeloaders. Dumbass, do you realize what they're doing and what they're setting? They're, like, if you don't, the purpose of these corporations is not to pay you what they owe you.
Yeah, period.
They're not trying to pay you what they owe you or what you deserve or what you're valued as. They want to pay you as little as possible. Unions made it possible for your no power having ass to be able to earn a wage that would keep you alive. The ability to negotiate, and that's another funny thing to me. I think for the most part, if you've never negotiated your salary, you're probably poor. You're probably
poor.
and people don't understand that. People don't understand that. They're just happy to get a job. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this is what we're gonna pay you. You're hired. Woo!
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been conditioned to understand. But you don't understand that those rich people, they're like, yeah, nah, this is what you're going to pay me. Okay, well then, and it becomes a negotiation. You know, you negotiate your salary, you negotiate your benefits, negotiate the different bonuses that you might get. If you can't do that or have never done that, you should probably not be a Republican.
Probably not.
If you've never done that.
Yeah, like probably not. It's probably not in your best interest to be a Republican and someone who believes that they earned all that they have and all of those freeloaders and people just taking. It's like, you're probably a taker, dog. Like, you don't even realize it. Like, you go to work every day just like everybody else. And there's no reason for you to believe that you should be on this pedestal and look down upon people or feel great about, you know, being one check away from being out
financial
of the street,
ruin. Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's some real shit though, you said, man. Like, if you had never negotiated your salary, you probably are poor.
Yeah. And people need to stop putting a stigmatism on that, because that's the way capitalism works. You can't have winners without losers.
I was just telling the lady that I've always told her, I was like, I have a moral problem with the fact that it's for someone to win, somebody's gotta lose.
Yeah,
everybody can't. Somebody gotta be the janitor. Somebody's gotta flip the burgers. Somebody's gotta do that.
Because that's our way of life. We enjoy these things. Somebody has to fill those roles, and the fact of the matter is, we treat our losers poorly, when they facilitate a need. It's a need for everyone, you know? And what we also fail to realize is that the fuel of capitalism requires that there be far more losers than winners, you know?
Before I can individually win more.
Yeah, no, I keep it funky with you, my nigga. Both of us, we are losers in this game.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
We are not winning in this game.
100%.
You know,
you're right.
I'm doing all right. Doing good, doing cool, you know what I'm saying? But I am not winning in this game, you know? It is what it is. And
not that many people are winning, though.
That's the point, and that's what people need to understand. Like, if you're not one of the few people that are winning, you need to be about changing this system, period. You need to be about changing the system, not trying to mitigate your specific problems off the backs of people that you can affect, because you can't affect the people above you. So what do? You affect the people below you. And that doesn't make it better for you. You know? All we're doing is pushing the floor down. We're not pushing the ceiling up.
That's so funny, man, because we do, though. We always want to feel like we better than somebody else. And it's funny, it's like people try, and maybe it's just more of a black thing of how
it's
we
not.
Try.
Don't do it.
It's not.
Don't do it.
don't do what I'm going to say.
Yeah, don't do it.
What do you mean?
Go ahead.
No, because it's not a black thing, though. We capitulate in our minds that we're the only ones that shit on other people though, for not having money.
Yes.
And like we're the only ones who want to stunt. Yo, the motherfucker, if you seen this crazy motherfucker, the one bought the Wu-Tang album.
Yeah.
Did you see the interview with him on with the Breakfast Club?
With his thugs in the back?
No, not that one. No, he did another one interview and he was just like, I bought the album just to say I did it. He's like, and it wasn't nothing like he was being deep or anything he was saying, but it was if you read behind, he was saying, yeah, my other friends that got money, they just buy dumb shit like that too to say they got it. And I was like, yo, and we want to get mad about niggas that's got chains on and stuff though, and Jordans and stuff,
yeah.
But they do the same shit.
Exact same shit. It's American. It's the same way that they talk about black on black crime. Like America ain't got crime. Like there's not white on white crime. Like there's an Asian on Asian crime. Like
there's a lot of white on white crime that's not reported.
Like it's not a crime of proximity. So I mean, we allow them to project and force us to internalize a lot of bullshit that is just simply American. Simply fucking American.
And that's something I've been realizing more. It's not a black thing. It's an American thing.
Yeah.
It's us. We just some violent fucking
sociopaths,
man.
Awful.
I was realizing, like, most of us probably can't be diagnosed as sociopaths, man. Like, we want to be, like, the idea of, like, being happy that you are better than somebody else is some sociopathic shit in itself. The idea that you just like, well, shit, man. I'm in my little mid-management, I'm not going to go past here, but I'm better than the motherfuckers down in the mailroom, though.
Goddamn right.
And even the idea of, like, everybody in your job, where is the mailroom at everybody's job? Think about it, it's usually in the base. And it hit me, I was like, that's some psychologically fucked up shit. And it's the idea that the mailroom is on the bottom floor, whatever your corporation is.
And you got to work your way
up.
Oh.
entry level. But you can't work your way up no more.
You've never had
That was another stigma we all have. That the '80s from shit though, like, man, I worked at the mailman, then I went to an intern, then I went to flipping burgers, then I end up owning the McDonald's.
Yeah, see, that's the whole illusion of meritocracy. Like they cherry pick the person who did, and then they don't talk about the plenty of people who never did. You know.
I was thinking about the Temptations. Like, but what about the Doves and like these other groups that was like around that didn't ever blew up that you knew about? Because we're like, man, music was so good, man. Everybody was no. The Temptations made it. What about the Roosters? Hey, like, what do you mean the Roosters? That was a group that was in the other corner across from them. That was bebopping too, though. Then nobody that Berry Gordy didn't holler at in Detroit. You know, it's just funny, man. And maybe as you get older, you start realizing this stuff, and like, and maybe I'm understanding more simplification of life, man. Like, more being cool with simple shit.
That's just being comfortable with yourself, you know, and not really giving a fuck about what everybody else thinks and what everyone else is on, you know. It's just a comfort that you find when you get older, and that's just life.
Yeah, because I mean, everybody ain't comfortable like that. You still see people when I age in their 30s still like, man, I gotta get that Benz, man, next week. Like, what do you mean next week? Do you make 20 grand a year? What are you talking about?
What?
Oh, something I'm still not trying to figure out is how people that are broke have better whips, period, in general.
Because they care about cars. Like, I can't.
But I'm talking about even financially. I'm talking about even if I just broke down my bank account and was like,
well,
how do I?
You don't know everybody's situation. They might be Section 8. You know what I mean? Yeah, got a HUD house or something. You know, their rent is low. Or they might live with their parents. You know, you never.
That's what I'm saying. That I was like, it's got to be it. Or they was hustling. That's my normal thing is to legal transactions.
Yeah,
I go directly to legal transactions.
That's happened so infrequently now.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing though, because the drug game ain't the same game though. But the real talk, man, you rather go get a job at McDonald's than be in the drug game now.
Yeah, no, you would like if you actually break down the amount of time that cats spend hustling and actually outside actually going hand in hand. If you go hand-to-hand.
You were at Freakonomics then, right? You were at Freakonomics then.
You going hand-to-hand.
If you're not mid-management on a drug scale, if you ain't picking up 20 keys and dropping them off somewhere, then it ain't worth whatever you're doing. Yeah, it ain't like in the 80s and the 90s where it was like people was getting doted.
Yeah.
Everybody was a drug dealer at that point in the 80s and 90s. But man, I don't want to get off on other tangents, man. Dude, this has been a dope conversation, man. Dude, I appreciate it, man. Dude, I appreciate it, man. You have to come on again, man, and we're going it's so many different topics.
I don't live but down the street, so.
Oh, so you was like, when I said Creve Court, you was like, oh, shit, that's cool. Yeah, like, yeah.
Come straight down Lindbergh and call it a day.
Yeah, man. Hey, appreciate it, man. Dude, thanks for coming on, man.
Hope we came through right.
Yeah. No, dude, it's good quality. No, let everybody know where they can hit you up at.
It's your boy, Wu Chow. You can catch me at The Real Wu.
Else have your woo before woo child?
Man, it was so
I had it on my list before you on the show though. Like, I had my notes. I was like, I want to ask. I was like, the real woo, like, who else took the
somebody took the real woo on Snapchat. Like, I can't get on Snapchat with my name. But when I first,
so you said fuck Snapchat period, man, like, because I can't get my name
pretty much. when I first got on social media and I was just trying to get Wu Chow, like, there was just somebody that was that, like, I was like, who the fuck has Wu Chow? Like, how does that work? That person never tweeted, never did anything. Man, I couldn't get my name, so I went with The Real Wu, and then there was somebody else that got mad. He was like, man, change your name. I was like, man.
Oh, somebody's hitting you up to tell you change your name?
Yeah. He was Wu something or other.
Was this man from the Wu-Tang Clan?
No. I've never been contacted by the Wu-Tang Clan.
That's one of my other questions.
Because, like, it's my name isn't derivative of them. That.
You know, and it's not W-Wu.
Yeah.
Like, if you had W-U, child, then they would be
I pay homage to them cats, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up with them. And, like, to this day, man, how high is my joint between them, meth and red? You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
It is what it people is. You know what I'm saying? That. If they ever came to me and asked me about it, you know what I'm saying? We could have a good conversation about that. And I could tell you exactly where my name came from, and it wasn't from them.
It wasn't from them.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Damn,
yeah.
See, because I was like, why is he the real
one? Cats.
Like, Reese, why is he the real one?
Yeah, because somebody had my name. Somebody had my name, and then you try to keep it consistent along.
Because you want everybody to know.
And I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like my Facebook, is the real Woo Child. Twitter's the real Woo. Instagram's the real Woo. And that's pretty much all I'm on, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't do no Snapchat, man. I'm never gonna get on there.
Yeah, I don't think I am either.
No, I'm saying it's just my bandwidth is just too short, man. I had to realize that my bandwidth is just too short. I can't. It took me a while to even get on Instagram, though, because I was fighting Instagram for a while. Like, I'm not gonna get on. What do you mean? I don't even take pictures like that. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's been a struggle, dog. I have to take stuff and post later, or catch the tail end of shit, because I'm in the moment so much that I'm not pulling out my phone.
But man, I was just talking about that last time. Like, I don't take pictures because I'm living the life of something. I don't think about, like, yo, we need to take a picture of us doing. No, I'm kicking it and talking to somebody. I don't think about to take the picture the time.
Yeah, like I need somebody following me around. Like
that's when you, but that's when you have a real business though, and you got somebody like, yo, let's take the picture. Oh well, shit, you turn around, boom, and then you back to living. But you for you physically to be like, I need to take a picture. It is that's a different stratosphere with that.
Yeah,
but man, yeah, let everybody know once real Woo Child everywhere. They can get you Instagram,
pretty much the real
Twitter,
Woo, or you can just Google me Woo Child, WOOCHILD.
Yeah, because you had your game, your music on the Arizona was the Arizona it was the Arizona
no it was Kansas City Oakland
Kansas City Oakland game.
Yeah, the season finale where Charles Woodson, you know, was getting his send off and everything. Yeah, the Nissan halftime report featured my track All I Want. You know, headed down to South by Southwest. So if you in Austin, March 15th through the 20th, holler at me. I'm be on the Beats and Beer stage. I think on the 18th.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think I'm gonna try to hit South by Southwest this year, man.
That'd be dope, man.
Cause I heard so much stuff about it, man. Like,
this is my first time going. You know,
I heard so much stuff about it, man. I heard about like this Kanye party that was supposed to be crazy at a mall. They ran out of mall and you had to get a text message. To know where it was just stupid like that.
See, my thing as an artist was I wasn't gonna go until I could perform. Until I got invited to perform. It was just a personal thing. I mean,
it was an ego thing.
Yeah, and it was probably not a good look, because like the South by Southwest is just a big thing. Like a lot of camaraderie and a lot of connections, a lot of networking. But then again, I'm awful at networking, so. Being able to get invited down to perform was a big thing for me, you know. So once they asked me to come, I was like, "Yeah, dog, I'm finally gonna make it.
But yeah, hit him up on the real Woo Child, and yo, thank you for coming on once again, man. And we'll definitely get to chat again, bro.
Word.
I come too far for this moment we've been fighting for. Look, it's stolen. See me confident. Ain't no stopping this. We on top of it till we own it. Yeah, dreaming with my eyes open. I'm just trying to see how it feel when everything go how it's supposed to. All them dreams I have become real, real. Yes, never second guess. Slapping on the ground like a full court press. And I'm hitting your chest till they clear them checks. I don't hear no threats. I'ma make them give them what they owe me. Every single dollar that was phony. Every time I did it on my lonely. For every single winner, I would sit up in the show me. Just living for the moment. What they gonna say then? Tell me what they gonna say. They don't wanna see me win, right? Watch me do it anyway, yeah. Sit them in the front row with a long throat, looking dumb broke with their dumb quotes, like telling me what I was never gonna be. Put it in blood and I'm making no meat.
I stand my dreams so tall that if I crash, I might lose it all.
That's no problem, only no forward, even slow progress. You can go home or you can go harder, and I don't fear, so here I go start 'em. Nah, it ain't really what it seem. All the fame, that ain't really what I need. All the same, I just really wanna be. Yeah, I just really wanna be free. I do it for my team. Weekend in Barbados, we can do it every week. Do it for the love that I'm touring overseas. Sooner for the buzz, mom, sooner for the breeze. Have my nieces switching passports. Tell them this is the moment that everybody asks for. What they gonna say then? Tell me what they gonna say.
They don't wanna see me win, right? Why she do it anyway? Yeah, sit up in the front row with a lump throat, looking dumb broke with the dumb post, like telling me what I was never gonna be. Put it in blood and I'm betting on me. All I want, everything, everything.